Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to Erefuah Shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Malka Bat Allegra, Shifra Bat Sara, Shlomo Ben Sara, and Dorit Bat Sara, and to Ilui Neshamot, Elevating of the Souls, for Daniel Nankin, Allegra Bat Rachel, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Pesach Zeb Ben Chava, Harab Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Denishor, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have three subjects we want to cover on the program, so we want to move as quickly as possible this week. The first is the race next year for governor of New York, because it's already heating up and people are already getting ready to run. It's very much in the news nationally and even internationally because of the scandals of Andrew Cuomo, the current governor. And the second subject we want to speak about is the race for mayor of New York City, which is this year. The race for governor is in 2022, is next year. The race for mayor of New York City is actually this year. In June, there's going to be the Democrat primary, which will almost certainly decide who the next mayor is. Whoever wins the Democrat primary will almost certainly be the next mayor of New York City. And in November, of course, the final general election. The third subject I want to discuss is the latest with the tremendous danger being posed by Iran, that is racing toward achieving nuclear weapons in order to perpetrate, God forbid, a nuclear holocaust against the Jewish people, against Israel, and possibly against the United States and the Western world as well. Very, very dangerous situation. So those are the three subjects this week. Let's start off with the race for governor of New York. Andrew Cuomo is the governor of New York. His father, Mario Cuomo, another evil piece of subhuman left-wing filth, was the governor of New York for 12 years. Absolutely devastated the state. Terrible in every area. Was just a disastrous governor in every respect. Put the state deeply into debt. Huge spending, more spending. New York State's budget per capita is much higher than the budget of any other of the 50 states. New York is number one in terms of massive wasteful spending of all the 50 states. New York is number one in terms of taxation. New Yorkers pay higher taxes than any of the other 50 states. So we have a history here of governors, Democrat and Republican, by the way. George Pataki, Nelson Rockefeller were Republican governors, and they increased taxes, increased spending, did all the terrible things that Democrats do. They weren't any better. We have a history here of leaders who have absolutely destroyed this state, devastated this state. And that's why so many people want to leave New York and want to move to places like Florida and Texas and other places where you don't have a state income tax, for instance. In Florida and Texas, there's no state income tax. New York has the highest and most punishing state income tax of any of the 50 states in the country. And so Andrew Cuomo, has continued what his father did. His father was governor for 12 years. He has now been governor for 11 years. By next year, it'll be 12 years. And the two of them have pretty much destroyed the state. And so the question is there any chance of rescuing something? Because Rudy Giuliani rescued New York City when New York City was pretty much destroyed in the 70s and 80s. Rudy Giuliani came in and temporarily rescued New York City during the 8 years that he was mayor. So could we get a leader like that who would come in and at least temporarily rescue New York State? That's the question. But first, let's just quickly review again why Andrew Cuomo is so bad. He is a mass murderer. He put 15,000 elderly, helpless people into nursing homes during the peak of the COVID crisis when they were completely unequipped to take care of these people. All of them, they got COVID-19 and they died. 15,000 elderly people died unnecessarily because they were forced into nursing homes that did not have the capability in any way of treating them for COVID, and which were places where there was no question in their vulnerable state they were going to catch the disease. They were going to get the disease in close confinement with all these other people, and they're so vulnerable because of their age and because of other comorbidities. And so he put them, he basically he basically murdered, he not basically, he did, he murdered 15,000 elderly, helpless people. The Trump administration gave him a huge ship in the New York Harbor where he could have housed them and they could have received hospital care and other care, and many of them might have survived. Many of them would have survived, because under proper hospital care, many people with COVID did survive. So he pushed them into a situation when they could have been saved, when there were other alternatives available. Thousands of beds were available in other places that were opened up for him. Instead, he didn't want to do that because he didn't want to give Trump the credit for bringing in a ship and for making other space available. And so he pushed them into nursing homes where there was no way to treat them, where they were almost certain to catch the disease and almost certain to die. This is what this monster, this Nazi monster did to 15,000 elderly, helpless people. So he is a mass murderer, a criminal of the worst type that words cannot describe how evil this piece of subhuman filth really is. And he was glorified by Hollywood. They gave him an award in Hollywood, and they were glorifying him during the peak of the crisis. You remember, because he was holding press conferences, and they were talking about how wonderful his leadership is, and he's the type of leader we need at a time like this. The media and Hollywood and the establishment were all hailing his leadership and praising him and idolizing him and deifying him. You remember that? While he was murdering thousands of elderly people. That's number one. He's a mass murderer of 15,000 people. He has the blood of 15,000 innocent, elderly, helpless people on his hands. He also is destroying New York State. His massive spending and massive debt, long-term debt and annual budget deficits, the massive debt that he's adding onto New York City with huge budgets that are two and three times as big as the comparable budgets in states like Florida and Texas. He's outspending per capita Florida and Texas two to three times what they're spending on education or on hospitals or on police or on roads or other things. He spends two to three times as much as them. And the services in New York are much worse than they are in Florida and Texas, even though they're spending only a third to half of what he's spending. Because he has caved in completely to the communist labor unions in New York City and allows them to get huge wages and huge pensions and huge benefits, tremendous benefits that add up to hundreds of thousands of dollars per person. Gigantic pensions and benefits that are bankrupting New York State. While they sit back and do nothing for the state, are not the workers in New York State, these labor unions in New York State are the worst, create the worst, the laziest communist workers that you could ever have anywhere. So the second thing is, he's a mass murderer, he has the blood of 15,000 innocent people on his hands, and he's destroying New York State. That's Andrew Cuomo. And the third thing is, he's a vicious anti-Semite. He is a vicious Jew hater, the worst type of Jew hater. Every chance he gets, he makes anti-Semitic, vicious, Nazi-like anti-Semitic remarks. Just recently it was exposed that he said he was referring to the Jewish holiday of Sukkot, the beautiful Jewish holiday of Sukkot, when we go out and we have a sukkah where we eat so that we realize that we're in a temporary location, we're not in our home with the security of our home. We realize how vulnerable we are and how much we have to turn to Hashem, to God. To God in order to protect us. It reminds us and puts us into the proper perspective as to life, and it's a beautiful holiday, the holiday of Sukkot. Andrew Cuomo referred to the Sukkot. Sukkah is the booth, the tabernacle or the booth. I don't know if you call it a tabernacle in English. I don't know. In Hebrew it's Sukkah, and plural is Sukkot. Singular Sukkah, plural is Sukkot. He referred to the Sukkot, that the beautiful Sukkot that the Jews build for the holiday, as, quote, effing tree houses, unquote. Effing tree houses. By the way, would he ever say that about his Negro friends, about his black monkey friends that he promotes day and night and he has his nose up their black asses? Would he ever say that about them? Would he ever say that about Arabs or Muslims? That filthy, low-life scum May Hashem afflict him with every disease under the sun. May his name and memory be obliterated. May the name of the wicked rot. And of course, the fourth thing with him is he sexually assaults every woman he can get his hands on. Even women who are part of his staff. On his own staff, he sexually assaults them. He grabs them and forcibly kisses them and grabs them, puts his hands on them and pressures them to have sexual relations with him. Not only women that he meets around the state he's done this to, but he does it even with women on his own staff who were loyal to him, who worked for him for years, and who adored him before he did this to them. They were leftist Democrats who liked his communist agenda. And he sexually assaulted them. He was sexually attacking them. What low, subhuman sewage. Sewage. He and his whole family. His father was sewage. His mother is sewage. Mother, another anti-Semite. Whole family sewage. His brother who has a show on the Communist News Network, CNN. Another piece of subhuman sewage. So, no question that he is someone who you know, you would want to see defeated. Defeated. I hope he's defeated. God willing, I hope worse than that happens to him. I hope Hashem does to him what he did to 15,000 elderly, helpless people. I hope it happens to him 15,000 times over in the next world. I hope he's punished in the deepest burning part of hell and feels the pain of all 15,000 of those people all at once. But the question is, who would run against him? Now, there are two possible challenges. He's going to be challenged, of course, by the Republican candidate in November, but New York State is overwhelmingly Democrat. Votes about 2-1 Democrat. And in fact, the registration, I think, in New York, I think it's 50% Democrat and 22% Republican. I don't remember exactly. I might be confusing that with California's registration. I don't know. But New York, California, the same dreck. Communists. Anyway, so one possibility is the Republican candidate running against him in November. We're going to discuss that. But a much greater threat to him, of course, would be a primary challenge, a Democratic primary challenge, because the Democrats are so dominant in New York State. If a Democrat challenges him in the primary, that could lead to his defeat. Now, if he's challenged by more than one Democrat, then he could get reelected, because that means if there's several Democrats challenging him in the primaries, and several have expressed an interest in doing so, if several Democrats challenge him in the primaries, they will split the anti-Cuomo vote in the primary, and he could squeeze in with 25 or 30% of the vote. That could happen. So, you know, you would hope that they would all gather around one Democrat. And of course, all the Democrats who want to run against him are subhuman scum as well. All subhuman scum. Attorney General Letitia James. Oh, she'd be the Attorney General of the state of New York. Mm-hmm. She say that she may run. She considering running for governor of New York. Woo, yeah. Another affirmative action piece of filth. Housing project piece of filth. Illegitimate housing project piece of subhuman filth. And she became the Attorney General of New York, this moron. And she's considering running for governor. And she would be in New York, she'd be a very strong candidate. They like that in New York. They like candidates like her. They like affirmative action candidates with IQs in the single digits. They like that. And, you know, one of the interesting candidates that, potential candidates that has expressed some interest in running, it's just a moment of interest, even though she, you know, her positions on the issues are terrible. All Democrats are terrible. All the Democrats are terrible. The entire Democrat Party, that's like the Communist Party. Terrible. But just an interesting side note about it. There's a state senator from the Bronx and Westchester County who has expressed an interest in running. Her name is Alessandra Biaggi. And I'll tell you why it's interesting. Now, she's a leftist like all Democrats. So I'm sure she would be a terrible governor, a terrible leader, and her leftist policies are horrific. But it's interesting. Her grandfather was Congressman Mario Biaggi, who was a very good friend of Rabbi Meir Kahana, blessed memory, our beloved leader. When I say a friend, he supported Rabbi Kahana and actually praised Rabbi Kahana and the JDL when the Jewish leaders were condemning us in the Jewish Defense League, were condemning what we were doing, and he was praising us and even went to our demonstrations. Congressman Biagi went to our demonstrations and was supporting us. And he was not a leftist, because in those days you had Democrats who were not leftists. In fact, he was endorsed by the Conservative Party in New York. You can be endorsed by more than one party in New York. There's cross endorsements in New York. It's one of the only states in the country. I think New York and Connecticut are the only two states that do that, where you can be on the party, you can be on the ballot on more than one party line. And he was on the ballot, and he was a Democrat and a Conservative Party candidate. When he ran for mayor of New York, he was endorsed by the Conservative Party. So he was not a leftist. He was the most decorated cop in New York City history when he ran for mayor of New York. And I knew him personally. I knew him well personally. Tragically, in the end, he was indicted on bribery and other charges and all types of corruption charges, tragically. And he wound up going to prison. That was the end of his career. But he was a congressman for almost 20 years in New York. Maybe 20, something like that, about 20 years. And he was a good friend of the JDL and he was a friend of ours. How sincere he and his family were they really supporting us or they did? I don't know. But they did support us. The point is, they did support us. They did what Jewish leaders and Jewish politicians would never do and never did at the time. Jewish leaders and Jewish politicians hysterically condemned everything we did. Hysterically condemned Rabbi Kahana, hysterically condemned the JDL, hysterically condemned me personally as well, all of us. And Congressman Biagi did the opposite. He was praising us and defending us and went to our demonstrations. She's his granddaughter. Alessandra Biagi, she's a state senator now, and she's his granddaughter, and she's expressed interest. She's in her 30s, and she's expressed interest in running for governor in the Democrat primary, actually challenging Andrew Cuomo in the Democrat primary. Excuse me. Interesting, just interesting. I hope she's not married to a Jew, by the way. I don't think so. I don't think he's a Jew. His name is Nathaniel Smith Kolick, and I think he's Swedish, but his mother was Smith. So that's not Jewish. So I'm pretty sure he's not Jewish. If obviously someone married to a Jew, you know, when you have intermarriage and Jews involved in politics, we're against them. We're against them. But she's one of the possibilities, and other people are thinking of running. So he may get a primary challenge. If he does, hopefully he'll be defeated in the primary. Hopefully. Because he's the worst you can get. You can't get worse than him. And of course, any Democrat coming out is also going to be bad. But that's the Democrat situation. That's where Andrew Cuomo and the Democrats, that's where the race for governor of New York, that's where we stand. That's how bad things are in New York. On the Republican side, even though Republicans generally have no chance of winning anything in New York, you can't get elected to anything in New York if you're statewide, if you're a Republican. Nothing. Because of Cuomo's scandals, because of all these scandals with Cuomo, several Republicans have expressed interest in running. They're hoping that they run against him. One of them is a disaster. One of them is Congressman Lee Zeldin. And he is a disaster. Lee Zeldin is a self-hating intermarried Jew. He is married to a Mormon. His wife is a Mormon of Hispanic descent, by the way. And that in and of itself tells you what he's all about. First of all, we're against Jews serving in any office outside the land of Israel. We don't belong in the United States. We don't belong in New York or anywhere outside the land of Israel. Jews running for office outside the land of Israel committing a sin. We should not be serving in any office outside the land of Israel. We're not supposed to be here. And when you serve in office and you profess loyalty to another country and so on, that's violating what God commanded us to do. I mean, that's as bad as it gets. But he is, not only that, he's a self-hating intermarried Jew, this congressman. And he served in the U.S. military. Jews who serve in the U.S. military are traitors. Not because there's something, well, there are things wrong with the U.S. military. I don't want to go into, there's things wrong with the Israeli military as well. The leaders of the U.S. military are traitors to the United States. The generals are not loyal to the United States. They're loyal to a new world order. And the generals, just like the generals in the Israeli military, are a bunch of leftists. But aside from that, for a Jew to serve in the U.S. military, for a Jew to serve in the U.S. military is treason. To risk your life and put your life on the line for another country outside of Israel, when we have an Israeli military and you should be serving your own people in the land of Israel, that is disgraceful. Disgraceful for Jews who go to serve in the military of other countries outside of Israel. Absolutely disgraceful. And who cares if it offends people that I say this? I don't give a damn if it offends people. I couldn't care less. I only care about what God commands us to do. The Jews are supposed to be in the land of Israel. They're supposed to be serving in Israel and settling in Israel and living in Israel and be loyal to Israel. That's what Jews are supposed to do. They're not supposed to be here, and they're certainly not supposed to serve in the U.S. military or run for public office in the United States. And that's what the traitor Lee Zeldin did. And as if this intermarriage, just to prove how an intermarried piece of garbage like this will always stab his people in the back, here's a quote from a resolution that he co-sponsored in the House on Israel. I'm quoting now. This is Lee Zeldin. He's co-sponsored this legislation in the House. He was one of the leading co-sponsors of this legislation in the House, saying the following, and I quote, "A two-state solution remains the best way to justly resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. This resolution makes clear that Congress remains committed to a two-state solution," unquote. In other words, he promotes a two-state, what he calls a two-state solution. Of course, he uses terms that are completely false and a lie because he's a filthy, self-hating liar and a Jewish anti-Semite. He uses terms like Palestinian. There are no Palestinians. There is no Palestine. There's never been a Palestinian people in history at any time. The Arabs themselves, until the 1960s, always denied that there's a Palestinian people. And two-state solution, even that's baloney. The Muslims already have over 50 states of their own. It's not a two-state solution. They already have over 50 states of their own. This fake people that call themselves Palestinians, who never existed 50 years ago. 50 years ago, you never heard about this. They would call themselves Arabs. And they were part of the huge Arab world. They have over 50 states. They have, just the Arab world, just the Arab Muslim world, has more than 600 times the land that Israel has. And they demand that Israel give up the little land that she has to create a so-called Palestine state in the heartland of biblical Israel, which is what Lee Zeldin publicly, openly supports. This is the big conservative Republican who claims to be pro-Israel, and all the Jews, oh, he's very pro-Israel, oh, very. Oh, what a sick people. What a demented people. And this individual, everywhere he goes, will be terrible for the Jewish people. He will legitimize intermarriage and assimilation, marrying Mormons and Hispanics and outside the Jewish faith. He will legitimize all of that. If God forbid, he gets elected governor of New York, in a state that's overwhelmingly Democrat, if he got elected as a Republican, a state's overwhelmingly Democrat, he would instantly become a front runner for the Republican presidential nomination. It would be a catastrophe. God forbid that we'd have a president like this. I mean, you can imagine, he would push for that two-state solution in the White House, and as a so-called Jewish president, we would really be in danger. Because then he would say, I'm Jewish, I would never hurt the state of Israel. Look, I'm Jewish, would I hurt the state of Israel? That would be catastrophic to have someone like him in the White House. God forbid that we'd have a Jewish president. And if he became governor, there'd be a real danger of that. So he is a disaster. We would never support him. I hope he doesn't win the Republican nomination. He's already announced he's running. I hope he doesn't win the Republican nomination for governor. His name is Lee Zeldin, and he's the congressman from Suffolk County on Long Island. There are other people who have expressed interest but haven't announced their candidacy yet, like Congresswoman Elise Stefanik. By the way, she's a big phony. She claims to be pro-Israel. She goes on tours of Israel, but she also supports the two-state solution because, you know, they all support the two-state solution now. Nobody stands up for the land of Israel belonging to the Jewish people anymore. They all support this suicidal solution for Israel. But I'd rather have her because she's not Jewish. I'd rather have her than this intermarried, assimilated, self-hating piece of garbage, Lee Zeldin. I certainly would rather have her, even though she's not a friend of ours at all. None of them are friends of ours. None of them. They're all phony. And then, one other interesting, there are a number of other people who have expressed an interest in running, but one other interesting name that's been thrown out is Andrew Giuliani. Andrew Giuliani is the son of former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani. Now, Rudy Giuliani did save New York City temporarily. He brought New York City back from the brink. New York City was finished when he came into office. And he saved New York City. He brought down the crime rate. He cleaned up the streets. He balanced the budget. He brought New York City back. He was a big spender. He expended excessively and was a leftist in many respects. So he was not good from our perspective. I mean, I don't support left-wing policies on any issue. But anyway, Rudy Giuliani did bring back New York City, though. He was a very strong leader, a very effective leader, and he saved New York City temporarily during the 8 years that he was mayor of New York. And so Andrew Giuliani, if he were to run and win the Republican nomination, he could run and say, look, just like my father saved New York City, I can save New York State. I can save New York State from this catastrophe we have here. Give me a chance and I will save the state. I will make this state livable again. I will reduce taxes and reduce spending and reduce bureaucracy. He wouldn't do all that, but at least he'd probably do less than the Democrats. And he would promise to do it, though. You know, George Pataki promised to do it when he was running and didn't do it when he got elected. George Pataki, a so-called conservative Republican, a big phony. Anyway, he was governor, by the way, for 12 years also, George Pataki, a Republican, who spent as much as the Cuomos and as much, just terrible. But anyway, Andrew Giuliani, if he's anything like his father, what his father did, if he would get elected and do for the state what his father did for the city of New York when his father became mayor of New York, then New York would temporarily at least have a reprieve from the death sentence that Cuomo and de Blasio and all these other horrible people are creating for New York State. So that's the story in the race for governor. We're going to follow what's going on. We'll keep you updated. Many of the people who watch this program are from New York, so I assume that this is a matter of interest to people who are, you know, people who watch our videos. Our largest audience is in New York. Our second largest is California, from what I see, at least from the mail and from reaction we get. I'd say our second largest is California, largest is New York. So we've got people in the two disaster zones. California is also a disaster zone. We got two people in the two states that are disaster zones, and they're the bulk of our audience in the United States. Now, the second thing we want to discuss briefly, much more briefly, is the race for mayor of New York. Much more briefly, because there's not very much we could do about it. In the race for mayor of New York City, New York City being part of New York State, New York State votes 2-1 Democrat, but New York City votes 4 or 5-1 Democrat. New York City votes over 80% Democrat in every election, over 80% in the last election in 2020 and in 2016. The Democrat nominee for president in 2020 and in 2016, Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, they got over 80% of the vote in New York City, in the five boroughs of New York City. The five counties of New York City are called boroughs. And there is no hope, really, of having a Republican win in New York City. That's not going to happen. A Republican is not going to get elected mayor of New York City. That will not happen. The chance of a Republican getting elected statewide in the whole state of New York, maybe there's a slight chance. I don't know. Even there would be an uphill battle. But in the city, forget it. That's just not going to happen. The city is completely lost. So the Democrat primary, which is very crowded, we're going to have a Democrat primary in a couple of months in June. I think it's June 22nd, if I'm not mistaken. A little bit more than 2 months from now. And in the Democrat primary, that's going to decide who the next mayor is. Whoever wins that primary will be the next mayor of New York City. You have a number of candidates running. And here it's a question of the lesser of the evils, whoever you want to take your poison, you know, whoever, God forbid, but whoever the lesser of the evils are. You have Andrew Yang. You remember him? He ran for president, promising to give $2,000 to poor people, give $2,000 handouts. Okay. But he's actually running as a less politically correct and less left-wing candidate than the others. So he may actually be a lesser of the evils in this case. For instance, he said that he wants to fully fund the police department, which is that in New York. So to say you want to fund the police department, that's unthinkable in New York City. In New York City, you have to be anti-cop, anti-white, anti-Semitic, or you're doomed in a Democrat primary. But he said he wants to fully fund the police department, and he's made other statements that indicate that he's not politically correct like the others. So he may be the lesser of the evils, and polls show that because he has a high name recognition, that he's actually leading right now. He's actually in the lead in the polls, so he probably would be the lesser of the evils if he won the primary. The worst candidate would be Scott Stringer, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro Shem Reshaim Yirkav, who is the self-hating Jewish city controller. He was elected citywide as what they have a position called city controller. He's supposed to be handling the city's finances. What a joke. Anyway, this communist piece of subhuman sewage, he's running saying that he's more left-wing than anyone in the race. He is the most progressive candidate. He's running extreme left. Extreme left, this piece of filth. Yimach Shmo V'Zichro. And he would really be the worst. And then there's Maya Wiley.
Mm-hmm. My name be Maya Wiley. I'm an analyst for MSNBC. Ooh. Yeah, I am a genius. Mm-hmm. Because I'm black. Black people is geniuses. Ooh.
A complete affirmative action moron. Moron. She's running. Another far leftist. Eric Adams is another candidate. He's the black borough president of Brooklyn. He headed a black police organization. He's considered to be not left-wing enough. They're criticizing him that he's not left-wing enough because he was a police officer and because he doesn't believe in defunding the police because he was with the police. But he wants the police to be all black. I mean, he is, you know, he's made anti-white statements telling white people to go back to Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he didn't say it was white people, but, you know, it was obvious that that's who he was referring to. He didn't want them moving into our neighborhoods. You go back to Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And that's supposed to be the one that's not so left-wing that they're complaining isn't left-wing enough. Can you imagine? Filled with hatred toward whites, toward Jews, just filled with hatred, just the filthy, degenerate, low-life, low-IQ, piece of dirt. That's basically what he is. Lower than the dirt under your shoes. So those are the people running. The Republican candidates, the Republican primary, that's a complete joke. I don't even want to go into Curtis Lee was running, you know, that idiot, that phony. Complete phony, a complete political prostitute, Curtis Lee. Curtis Lee was running as a Republican. He supported Bill Clinton. He supported all the Democrats over the years. He was married to the left-wing Democrat borough president of Queens, Melinda Katz. And now he's married. I don't know how many times he's been married. He's been married more times than Elizabeth Taylor. And he's a complete joke, though. He had zero chance of winning. He's running as a Republican on a crazy platform of helping animals and animal shelters. Just a nut job. I mean, just a complete phony, a complete fake, who admitted that he lied. And I don't want to go into it. With the Guardian Angels, he had a group called the Guardian Angels, and he just made statistics up and lied about them. And admitted it, and was forced to admit it. He fabricated things and lied, and became famous by lying and fabricating things in order to publicize his organization, and was forced to admit it because he was caught red-handed. And then there's another, Republicans, that's not going to happen. We're looking at the Democrat primary. That's who the next mayor is going to be in June. And probably Andrew Yang is probably the lesser of the evils. That's the grim situation in New York State, New York City. We'll see what happens. In June, we're going to have the Democrat primary for mayor of New York. We'll see what happens. We will certainly comment and try to bring you the latest. Now, the third subject is Iran has announced, Muslim Nazi terrorist Iran has announced that they're now enriching uranium at a rate of 60%. 60% enrichment. Now, even under the terrible Barack Hussein Osama agreement that they signed, they're not allowed to enrich it more than 20%. They're already doing triple what the agreement said that they were allowed to do, and even under the agreement, they shouldn't be allowed to have any nuclear capability, any nuclear program whatsoever. It should be militarily destroyed, and they should never be allowed to have any military or weapons programs whatsoever, because they are a state that promotes terrorism and genocide. They are Nazi war criminals who promised to exterminate people, who've already murdered millions of people in the Iran-Iraq war. They murdered 2 million people. They've already committed genocide, and they promised to commit genocide again. They shouldn't be allowed to have anything. Israel set off a bomb that knocked out their electricity at their facility in Natanz. They have an underground facility in Natanz in violation of the agreements that they signed. All the agreements they signed, they violate everything. And in Natanz, they had an underground facility, and Israel set off a bomb that knocked out their electricity temporarily. I mean, big deal. But Israel is already inside the program. They have people inside. They could easily destroy the whole program. If the Israeli Air Force attacked them from the air and destroyed everything that's above ground, and then things that are too far, that are under the bunkers and underground, they could destroy from within. I mean, there's no question they have the capability of knocking out this program and destroying it and setting it back 5 to 10 years. The Iranians would have to spend hundreds of billions of dollars to get back to where they were. I mean, it would cost huge amounts of money in the next 5 or 10 years. They would have to almost start from scratch. And the people of Iran are not in the mood. They don't have the stomach for this. They're not in the mood to do this because they're practically starving. I mean, the Iranian economy is in shambles. They're practically starving in Iran. So they don't want to have to do this. And Israel could easily do that. And Pipi Netanyahu, Shem Reshaim Yirkav, may the name of the wicked rot, this filthy traitor who is the Prime Minister of Israel, he lets them get away with it and lets this go on, even though he has the military capability. He has the intelligence and military capability. He has intelligence agents on the ground there, and he has military capability to completely destroy their program and doesn't do it. He could eliminate a threat of nuclear holocaust that hovers over the heads of over 6 million Israeli Jews, and he doesn't do it. He continues to allow over 6 million Israeli Jews to live with this great danger of a nuclear holocaust. That's the leaders of Israel. Thank God that JTF played a role in reaching over 2 million Israeli Jewish voters, and Netanyahu got only 59. He and his allies got only 59 seats out of the 120 seats in the Knesset. He needed 61. He's still trying to work his way around and arrange by getting people from the other side and bringing people over. It's still possible he'll form a government, God forbid. But he may not be able to. It's possible he won't. He's having great difficulty. And I think JTF played a role. Remember, I told you all along, I said, if we pry away one or two Knesset seats in a close race, that can make the difference. And I think that's what happened. I think that's what happened. Baruch Hashem that Netanyahu did not get the 61 seats he needs. And let's hope, Bezrat Hashem, God willing, that his government, that he's unable to form a government and that it falls and that he's brought down because he's the worst prime minister Israel could ever have. And I'm very proud of the fact that JTF played a role, in my opinion, in creating real serious coalition problems for him. So that's where we stand right now. But what we did in the Israeli election, just shows that even an organization like ours, a small, underfunded organization like ours, can make a difference. Because we had an advertising campaign, we reached over 2 million Israeli Jewish voters with our advertising campaign. And so we can make a difference. It can happen. And that should show us how disgraceful it is that others are not involved and are not doing what has to be done at a time like this. That JTF is pretty much alone in giving the warnings to people about the terrible threats that we face. But in the end, the good guys are going to win. That's what Hashem promises us through the Nevi'im, through the prophets in the Bible. That is going to happen eventually. Eventually. Until then, we don't want to see terrible suffering and pain and agony and mass death, God forbid, among the Jewish people. So we're trying to save Israel from that tragedy. That's our mission. That's what we're trying to do. And if you agree that this is a mission that's important and a message that's important, then you're in the right place. Because if we work together as a team, we can change history and make this a better world. Be'ezrat Hashem, God willing. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.